live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. WVNN being one of the largest news talk channels in North Alabama, and this is the show for the afternoons right here, Right Side Radio. Like the man said, just solid, just conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, we're going to one of my favorite segments. I know we got my brother Jeff Poor on the line. Jeff, welcome. We appreciate you from 106.5 down on the coast. So thank you, Jeff, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, bro. And we're looking for Dale Jackson, but we don't know that he's going to make it. Dale may be a little iffy on getting on the air, but let's do this, Copper. Let us not forsake the opportunity to play a sound effect. Let us convene the Grand Council as we speak.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Hey, Jeff, it may be you and me, bud, but we'll just bounce stuff off each other for a minute. So I'll just go ahead and launch a question at you, Jeff, and I want your opinion. I know you've been watching the news today. It's been breaking like literally by the minute, waiting on the President of the United States to finally come out and speak. What will Biden say, in your opinion? Will he go hard in and change his position on Afghanistan and, you know, go back and seize Bagram and expand the capabilities of our ability to evacuate? Or will he stay soft and start pulling out any minute now? What do you think?
I mean, is there any reason to think that he's not going to stay soft based on what we know about his presidency to date? I don't know. I mean, I guess it could go either way. I feel like this is definitely the worst day of his presidency. But what do you do in this situation? Do you want him to go guns a-blazing, or do you want him to kind of stay the course and it look like a steady hand? I've thought about this a lot. Like, you know, you got people in Congress on Capitol Hill calling for him to resign. Is that the best for the United States to show this instability with him, you know, stepping aside, or any big shakeup? Or do we need to wait a few days, get our sea legs under us, and figure it out, and then you start making big decisions? And my guess, or my hope, I guess, would be to at least project the image of stability for right now, at least for the next 24, 48 hours.
Yeah, so my thought on that, though, is I think he'd better take a harder stance. I mean, to me, I look at it and think that leadership sometimes has to also recognize when it needs to flex. And I don't mean like flex like you're wishy-washy. I mean like recognizing the times may have changed. In this case, they changed overnight. Or did they really? I mean, truthfully. And what I've been saying all along is that he has never led anything in his entire life, and it's evident. He's always had the ability as a legislator for 40-something years to go to the microphone, make a speech, and then walk away and not have to own anything because he was not in charge of anything. He was in charge of himself, and that was it. But I think, in my opinion, I think if he doesn't come out and say something like, I've launched the 75th Ranger Regiment, they're parachuting in to seize Bagram, we'll expand our airhead capabilities, and then we're gonna make sure that we get everybody out. Taliban, you know, go take a flying leap. We're staying there longer because you just made it harder, and we're going to do what has to be done. If he doesn't do that, and then soon thereafter have General Milley resign, then I think that he's indicated fecklessness, and it's not a steady hand right now. I mean, there's nothing steady about him. So, in my opinion, he'd better take a harder stance, or it's going to get worse, because right now they're capitalizing on his weakness.
Well, let me ask you this, and you may know better than I would. What capability do we have right now, with the U.S. forces there? You don't want to come out and start talking tough. I did have like a Jimmy Carter situation where he tries to go into Iran to rescue the hostages at the U.S. embassy, and it's a debacle. I mean, that just makes us look even weaker and weaker and weaker. I don't know how much strength we can project based on the circumstances, the hand we dealt ourselves. Where could you stage such an attack? I mean, you could go from Uzbekistan, but I mean, how many thousand miles away is that from Kabul? Do we really have a position of strength? So if you are able to talk tougher, stronger, and therefore you can act on that. Otherwise, if you start projecting really tough talking rhetoric, and you're not able to back it up, what does that do for the image of the United States?
Yeah, so my understanding right now, Jeff, is we've got pre-positioned well over 4,000 more troops sitting in Kuwait, just a hop, skip, and a jump, you know, over the horizon. And so they can immediately be on the ground if necessary. The 75th Ranger Regiment, the actual Ranger units, I'm Ranger qualified, but they're a Ranger unit, so everything they do is Ranger-oriented. But they literally, one of their missions is airfield seizures. And so Bagram Airfield has got two airstrips and a hardened facility that is only 30 miles away from Kabul. And so they can launch from right now from Fort Benning, Georgia, and be anywhere in the world, you know, within 12 to 20 hours. And so I would suspect right now they're sitting on what's called the green ramp, and they are ready to load planes and don parachutes and do what's necessary, but they have to have the go order from the National Command Authority, and the boss right now is President Biden. So that's my thoughts on that.
I feel like this, Phil. I tell you, I think Joe Biden is getting a lot of advice from John Kerry, this sort of globalist, the Davos crowd. I think that's where he's getting his foreign policy pointers from. Wow. I think that's why it's been a disaster to date, that it's too State Department focused. Foreign policy is being, to some degree, it should be run out of Foggy Bottom, but there's no input from the Pentagon, and I that just seems to me to be the direction of the Biden administration, which is typical, I think, of probably typical Democrat administrations.
Wow, that's a great point. You know, I hadn't really thought much about the Kerry angle. I've been thinking a lot about Susan Rice. I think Susan Rice is definitely in the mix, and some folks say she's a shadow president, because certainly Kamala Harris is doing nothing. So, interesting point. All right, your question, brother, what you got?
Well, let's bring it back home to Alabama, and I think people in Alabama are rip-roaring mad about this situation, and I think it's only going to get... it's only going to kind of, I think, tensions are going to get a little more heated. What does this, if anything, mean for state races? What does this mean for the Senate race? Do you think it favors a particular candidate?
Yeah, so a couple of candidates that I think it favors are, number one, potentially right now, and of course timing's everything, and we still got over a year before the election. Everything can happen in a week in politics, but I think that... I think that it boosts Casey Wardinsky in his bid for Congress, because he comes at it as the former Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower and worked in the Trump administration. I think, though, it also, you know, right now, I mean, there's some dings on Trump because he did negotiate with the Taliban, but he did not leave it like this, and I don't think he would have let it get like this. So I think that his endorsement of Mo Brooks still carries a great deal of weight, maybe even more so right now than it did before. With Mo taking the positions he is on Afghanistan, everybody else is playing catch up at that point. So I see that happening in those two races. You know, what it'll do for anything, you know, down ballot or even governor's race. So I heard the other day that there is someone who is thinking about getting, and I've done this to you two or three times on the radio, and I feel cheesy almost doing it. But I have heard again that there's someone else who's strongly considering getting in the race, who actually has a very stellar military background for the governor's race. And I'm thinking, you know what? Timing's everything. You could capitalize on this moment, announce your race, and be that guy or girl who could say, I know how this works. And I know how to, you know, be the commander in chief of an amazing National Guard here in Alabama. Who knows? But I do think that those Senate race and that congressional race I mentioned with Wardinsky and Dale Strong and some others, I think that one is impacted.
Yeah, and I agree to that. Only thing I would add is I think you're going to have a very, very anti-Biden kind of a sentiment in the state. I mean, not that you don't already, but I think it's going to get people more politically engaged. That is just going to help Mo Brooks, because people are going to be looking. The anti-Biden right now is Donald Trump. There's nobody else out there that is an anti-Biden as Donald Trump, or the opposite of Biden, or whatever you want to call it. Anti is the right word, but the mirror image is the, you know, you look at the spectrum, and Donald Trump's on the other side of that. He's backing Mo Brooks. Everybody's going to be looking, what is Trump going to say? What's Trump going to say? And that is going to give Mo Brooks an opening, I feel like.
I think you're right, man. I think you're absolutely right. Listen, brother, we're going to take a short break. Come back. I got another question for you. Going to deal with, I'll go ahead and prelude my question for you, man. Is this situation we're in right now sort of a wag the dog to hide a bunch of other things like the $3.5 trillion bill? Or is it going to be something that creates bipartisanship? Let's talk about that when we get back. So, hey, folks, Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio with the Grand Council, or at least part of it. We'll be right back after this. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. We are in the Grand Council, and we just added our third member, my brethren Dale Jackson, on the line with us. Dale, glad to have you with us, bud.
I am so sorry that I am late, but I'm thrilled to be here.
We love you in spite of yourself. It's all good. Hey, listen, so Dale, to catch you up, Jeff and I have been talking about Afghanistan, as I'm sure you can imagine, and we went through some things like what's Biden about to say and what should he say. Here's my question to start off the next round for you and Jeff. Is this situation in Afghanistan going to be a wag the dog, in so to speak? Is it going to be something that they use to rush through the $3.5 trillion budget bill and hide it behind the news cycle? Or is it going to create a 9/11 style bipartisanship? What are y'all's thoughts? Dale, you can start that off if you want to.
I don't think either of those things are going to happen. I don't think this. I don't think it helps them get anything done personally. I don't think that works. I think this derails everything he wants to do. And I don't think there'll be any bipartisanship here either, because this wasn't like some sort of sneak attack. This was done and created by incompetence of the Biden administration.
Yeah, clear. I hear it. What do you think, Jeff?
I second that. I don't think you're going to see any bipartisanship or anything like that coming out of this. I think Republicans have the high ground all of a sudden. They're not going to cede the high ground. They smell blood, and Democrat priorities are going to have to go by the wayside. There's no January 6th commission or any of that. For the next little while, it's going to be all about Afghanistan.
Well, I tend to agree. I think the one place where I would differ with that is right before you guys, we came on with the Grand Council, I talked about an article that somebody gave me from the LA Times. I was not aware that there is a bipartisan caucus of Afghanistan veterans that are committed to working through the politics and getting into military issues together. And I would see the one level of bipartisanship being the authorization of military action or the calling for military action in a joint manner, as opposed to, but I don't see the social agendas changing at all. I think you're right. I think it falls apart, and I think this is a soul-crushing event for the Biden administration right now. And he's going to be coming on. We're sitting here looking at the TV right now. He's coming on any minute. So what he says is going to be really his presidency is riding on this speech, I believe. But all right, hey Dale, you got a question for us, man?
Yeah, 21 points underwater. That was this morning in a Rasmussen poll.
Wow.
I will tell you that's pretty amazing from where it's been. Does it rebound as soon as the cameras leave Kabul and we're done with that? Does he rebound quickly?
Jeff, what do you think?
No, it's going to take some time. I think there's enough animosity on the Democrat side. If Biden's going to be toxic. These guys on the Hill are worried about their own reelection bid. So on top of that, that compounds things. So he's not going to have anybody. He's not going to have a lot of people having his back. I think this hole's going to be a lot more difficult to dig out of, given the politics of the time right now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think this is going to be a struggle. And earlier in the show too, I talked about the fact that his other anchor is Kamala Harris, who has the lowest approval rating of any vice president in modern history ever. Like the lowest, like in the tank. Like no one likes her. No one wants to play on the playground with her at all. And so I think this is going to be the thing that has just created a complete dredge on his approval ratings, and he will have a hard time ever getting out of it. And by the way, fellas, in case you're not seeing it, President Biden just took the podium. So we'll see what he has to say here in just a minute. Jeff, you got one final question for us?
Yeah, and we'll make this about COVID. If we can't trust Biden on Afghanistan, they seem to not have been very transparent about this process, telling us everything is okay. What does this do to any of their efforts to get people vaccinated or get a booster shot or any of these other COVID mitigation policies that they want these states to adopt?
Interesting. So, yeah, I just saw today, by the way, the Japanese health minister just came out and gave a speech urging people to use ivermectin as a treatment for, he believes firmly that it's a treatment for COVID, which is completely contradictory to what we're hearing out of the narrative from the Biden administration and others at CDC and all that. So I think it crushes even more the trust he was trying to gain. But then again, his way of dealing with the fact that we got the Pfizer vaccine through the FDA approval process recently, his first thing he did was come out and threaten people. He didn't come out and take a victory lap. He came out and threatened people. And I think this further hurts his credibility with that whole process. You, Dale?
The ivermectin thing is interesting. It's used after you're already infected, so that the key here is to not get infected. That would be the ideal path. Barry Moore took the ivermectin as well. So did Phil Valentine. No, rest his soul, he took it as well. So the key here is to not get infected in the first place. But you're right. All this stuff just casts more doubt on it and gives more ammunition to the people who were lying when they were saying, once I get FDA approval, I'll do it. And then, not this one. I think we're in a kind of holding pattern here. The death and destruction is what gets people to get vaccinated. And that's just the path we're going down.
Well, the death and destruction in Afghanistan is what's keeping the confidence level at an all-time low. So, all right, fellas, we appreciate you being at the Grand Council today. And Dale, do some push-ups for us, man. That's all there is to it.
Will do, sir.
All right, you guys have a great day. Jeff Poor from 106.5 down on the coast. Dale Jackson here at WVNN is our program director and morning show host. Great guys, and appreciate them being on weekly with us for the Grand Council. All right, folks, we're winding down this half hour. President Biden, breaking news here at 4:28. He has taken the podium and is speaking right now. I have not yet had a chance to gather up his comments. Obviously, I've been on the air with you. But in the moment when we take this next break, I'm going to be doing just that. I'm going to be listening in and try to give you what I can glean so far and keeping you in tune with news as it breaks. This has been one of those days where I came in thinking I had an entire show prepared for you. I even spent time. I got up at 4:15 this morning and spent time getting ready for the show and then put all of it aside at 8 o'clock. And realized I had to retool the whole thing. This is a show where I was coming in to do state politics. I was going to come in and talk COVID. I was going to come in and talk legislative races. I was going to come in and talk what happened in the mayoral races around the state. I was going to talk about cities in this state that are led by Democrats that are declining in population. I had all this stuff laid on. And every bit of it, though, falls short of what we're seeing right now in Afghanistan. Because we are facing the crisis of a generation right now. And as we head into this break, just understand, as the President of the United States speaks, I'm going to do what I can to dive into it and to try and tell you what is solid, conservative, and just plain right. And as you leave this day, just know this is not over right now. Whatever happens in this speech is going to set a tone. And what doesn't happen in this speech is going to set an even bigger tone. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. And if you can't hear us on the radio, go to rightsideradio.org, click listen live. You can hear us anywhere in the world. We love you. We'll be right back after this message.